I am Terry Bloom. Across from me is Dave Zagunas. To my right is Kurt Sanders. How are you guys doing today?
Fantastic.
Good morning.
Great, great, great. We have a very special episode here today for our listening audience. We have we're going to be discussing cap and trade, and we have we're very excited to have Congressman Don Manzullo with us today via phone. And obviously, Congressman Manzullo has been serving our 16th district, who is for over 15 years now, and also is homegrown, and we're very glad to have him. And if we have him on the line, we might as well get started.
How are you
right
this
now.
Morning?
We're doing great. Doing
That's great. We got some votes coming up shortly, so I appreciate your taking me right away. If you hear the buzzers going off, then I have to run in about 5 minutes.
Okay.
All right.
Well, we'll give you the floor here.
All right. What does cap and trade have to do with the home purchase or selling?
Mm-hmm.
Good question.
That's a great question. That is our question.
In your introduction, you said disgusting as opposed to discussing.
Did I really?
yes, you did. And perhaps that was more than a Freudian slip. But here's what we have. This cap and trade bill takes a look at all different aspects of carbon emissions with the theory that if you lower the carbon emissions, that will somehow normalize the weather in this country, as opposed to what they claim is, at first was global warming, then they put in there as global change, or climate change. The bottom issue is that we should be doing everything we can to stop pollution in all forms, whether it's airborne, water, or in the earth. And this particular bill is aimed at the carbon emissions ostensibly into the air. The problem is that it's based upon a flawed system whose model is Europe, and which has failed there miserably. But what it does to the individual homeowner and the realtor and people involved in mortgage, it federalizes local and state zoning laws regarding energy efficiency building standards. And if a state refuses to adopt the federal standards, it's penalized monetarily and through the loss of these so-called carbon allowances. Carbon allowances are meted out to industries and to municipalities on the basis that you can only use X amount, and if you go over that, you're fined, or you may have to go out, or you may have to go out on the open market and purchase offsetting carbon allowances. The whole theory is to have higher efficiency standards. Now, with that easy law to enforce, you know, what does it mean to the real estate industry? Well, the standards probably be modeled after California's expensive new building code. And what that means is that immediately upon an enactment, and the House passed it, the Senate hasn't picked it up. The bill requires a 30% increase in energy efficiency for new construction. It doesn't say how to get there. New construction, as you guys know, is already immensely energy efficient. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh yeah,
very
sure.
Much so.
I mean, you've got the windows that not only have, you know, double or triple painting, but have the gas in them, and they're also tinted, you know, to reflect deflect the sun. Mm-hmm. In order to keep the heat from coming in, you've already got very high ratings of, you know, sometimes 2x6 construction, or even now the 2x4 construction. It's triple insulation, isn't it? The stuff that goes on the outside,
mm-hmm.
And then on the inside, in addition to the pink stuff, the hard stuff, you have the loose insulation.
Mm-hmm.
So, in fact, you know that Corning and Rockford makes those boards, insulation boards?
Sure do.
Huh. Yep.
Huge, huge amount of manufacturing going on there. But it doesn't say how you get a 30% increase in efficiency. And some home builders are already at the point where they've got the high-efficiency HVAC systems.
Mm-hmm.
There was 2x6.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you increase over what right now may be the state-of-the-art efficiency?
Exactly.
They don't know. Mm-hmm. But that's the law that was passed. And in a few years, they'll probably come back, or they will come back, and require an additional 50% improvement. Mm-hmm. Now, we put in new windows into our house. Very high efficiency new windows. You know, we're checking on all the insulation for lack different cracks and seeps that may be responsible for loss of heating. But then what it does, it says to the home builders, there are new mandatory regulations and civil penalties for home builders if the state of Illinois refuses to accept the new California building codes, then the federal government may assess penalties. Now, what this means is a complete usurping of state and local zoning and building codes by this arbitrary federal code made up of a bunch of guys who live in apartments probably in Manhattan that are experts in Western water policy. that's how bad this bill is. Wow. And then the regulations allow for a consensus-based code to supplant the outline, to supplant the language that's in the bill. So as soon as you've invested your hard-earned money to comply with the bill's mandates, you find out that there's a new consensus to have an even more stringent building code. Now, home sellers, all home sales, every individual house, each house, is conditioned upon an energy audit. Hmm. And a new energy rating assessment program for your home that's outlined in the cap and trade bill. And you could see where each homeowner would have to have a footprint, a carbon footprint. And if you don't meet that carbon footprint, you've got to put in new windows, et cetera, to bring your house up, a new air conditioning system, new heating system, to bring your house up to up to that code. There could be new fixtures, new appliances. I mean, you talk about onerous. The right. Democrats' bill would bring down the value of your home because you'd have to make all these improvements, and also severely hamper the ability to sell a house in an as-is condition, which is an option for distressed sellers or estate sales, and also for foreclosures.
Right.
I mean, this is really bad. In fact, it was so bad that the liberal Washington Post editorialized against the federalization of local zoning laws on June 7th of this past year. Judy Biggert, who's a member of Congress from the suburbs, attempted to offer an amendment to this bill that would have eliminated this portion of the bill and replaced it with financial incentives to encourage localities to enact green building codes. In other words, would have been voluntary, wouldn't have been nearly as oppressive, but she was not even given the opportunity to offer that amendment on the floor. And so what you have is the bill, 1,100 pages, and at 3:03 in the morning of the vote, a 300-page amendment was added to it. Now you had 1,400 pages. No one had an opportunity to read this bill. The more they do, the more it makes you want to throw up.
Wow.
That's the good news from Washington, guys. Isn't that terrible? In the midst of one of the worst recessions that we've had. And you ask yourself, why wasn't this out before the vote was taken? And one of the reasons is because of the pace with which the liberals want to move this really bad legislation through the House. It's the same with the cap, the same with the medical bill that's pending. It was the same with the stimulus bill.
And I understand too some of the committees that you sit on. I was reading. I think it was either on your website or either a response back from an email that my wife sent you that it bypassed some of the committees that you sit on.
Right, I sit on the Financial Services Committee and on Foreign Affairs. The Financial Services Committee was bypassed, even though this cap and trade could involve up to $2 trillion worth of derivatives.
Wow.
And everybody knows you may not be able to define a derivative, but a derivative, it's an investment product that stems from another product that's underneath it, and the reason we're having the big economic relapse in this country today is the fact that the subprime mortgages that were sold on the open market created the derivatives, and then when the subprime mortgages started to go sour, the investment product that derived or came from that also went sour. So that's all we need is $2 trillion in new investments out there and no hearing as to the impact. On foreign affairs, about 4% of these so-called credits, carbon credits, goes overseas. And 40% of that 4% will go to India and China and other developing nations. For example, so the Indians can buy hydrogen-powered rickshaws as compared to human power, or to motorcycle power, rather. I mean, this whole thing is just, it's unfathomable, and it passed because most members of Congress who voted for it had no idea what was in that bill, and it was shoved through by the President and Speaker Pelosi, and that's why the American people are really, really upset with this. That's all you need is to put a further snag in the ability to sell real estate.
Right, right. And as it sits right now, as we're seeing it from what from our standpoint, if Mr. and Mrs. Jones decide that they want to sell their home, they have to have somebody come out. They have to set an appointment with someone who's going to come out, do an energy audit. They're going to look at obviously how efficient their home is energy wise. They're going to have to then do the upgrades. And then they're also going to have to, who knows how long this will take, obviously. And when you have a chain of events with people selling homes, one person buying a home, another person selling a home, and sometimes there could be three transactions in a row, that could really damper. not only damper that, the timing of everything, but people don't have the money.
It could stop the whole sale. I mean, right. Fortunately, it has to pass the Senate. And the president has to sign it. And after the House passed it, I mean, people in America are really, really upset with this thing. And I can assure you the senators are hearing from it, from the people, and there's no timetable in the Senate to bring up their version of the cap and trade. One of the committees of jurisdiction actually postponed a hearing on it because Americans have really been upset about it, and obviously the senators are hearing from it. But that's what people who are opposed to this type of legislation have to do, is to contact senators and go to the window and raise the window and saying, I'm mad as heck, I'm not going to take this anymore.
Right, right.
But in your scenario, if this passes and if the Senate and comes back for, and it gets eventually signed into law, if you go to sell your house, you need that energy audit, and the energy audit is measured against the federal building code that the municipality has been forced to adopt. And if you're emitting too many carbons, you would be forced to put in new windows and whatever else is necessary. And my gosh, you know, a window replacement is anywhere from $200 to $500 a window, you know, depending upon where you go.
Right.
And, I mean, so somebody's got a modest house, and it could cost him $10,000 to put in new windows, and he says, I don't have $10,000 in equity.
Right.
And besides that, if I have to prepare this house for sale, I don't have $10,000 in cash or a line of equity in order to make the improvement.
Right.
But that's what liberals do. Liberals pass laws based upon what feels good, upon theory, and it has no factual basis. Now, what's happened in Europe? I just got back from Northern Africa. We were over there in Tunisia, and Jordan, and Algeria, mostly on national security issues because I sit on International Relations Committee. The European cap and trade system is not working. You find, for example, there's a fastener manufacturer in Spain, state-of-the-art equipment for emissions, etc. But right across the straits of Gibraltar, Morocco, you have somebody manufacturing the same thing that's not bound by the cap and trade. And so the European manufacturers are at a huge disadvantage. Well, Northern African manufacturing is actually increasing because that's where the jobs are going. Well, now we have the Mexican border and China and India. I mean, how many more inducements do we need to lose manufacturing in America?
Wow.
But the sun came up this morning.
Yes, it did.
Yep. Congressman, what mm-hmm. is it going to take for our listeners to try to get on the horn? I mean, what can we do to let our senators know?
Well, there are a lot of things you can do. There's email, there's phone calls, there are letters. Letters to the editor talking about this, saying how bad cap and trade is. The every realtor, every person involved in building construction, everybody involved in the sale of a home, mm-hmm. you know, mortgage brokers, mortgage bankers, title companies, mm-hmm. anybody who has a stake in selling homes ought to be on the horn calling the senators, going to if they have town meetings, showing up and asking questions. Mm-hmm. And sending letters and saying, we don't want this.
Mm-hmm. We have the phone numbers that we're going to give at the end of the broadcast mm-hmm. as well. So, now this is obviously after after us discussing this, this is kind of a loaded question. But do you believe that this if this bill passes, do you see this as a do you believe defaults on mortgages in our country will rise?
Well, of course they will, yeah. Because. Anytime you make more expensive, anytime you make home ownership more expensive, mm-hmm. I mean, if somebody is behind on their mortgage and they're trying to make a sale just to get out, if they have to bring their house up to some building standard that requires substantial repairs, they're just going to walk.
Right.
I mean, just leave. I mean, you're going to have slums mm-hmm. Of pretty nice houses out there. And, you know, the way it is now, it's unfortunate. We about 4% of our mortgages, of the homes subject to mortgage in the country today, are in foreclosure, mm-hmm. which is extraordinarily high. But about 40% of all the homes in America today don't have mortgages. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you take that 4% of the 60%, that's a lot of homes out there.
Mm-hmm. And another scenario would be, let's say Mr. and Mrs. Jones, he's sitting in a $150,000 home, he and his family, mm-hmm. and let's say they were downsized, and in another city, he has a job opportunity. And he's looking at his home going, you know, the value dropped on my home, and I don't have the equity or the money to put these items into my home to make it meet code. What do you think they're going to do? They're going to go chase that. They have to, for their family, chase the job in the other city, and they're almost forced to let their home go where they're at now and rent somewhere else.
Right. The statement that you made means that people will be denied opportunities to there'll be denied opportunities to move. Mm-hmm. Either for a new job or advancement with the company, et cetera, because of the way it hurts homes. Not only homes, but commercial buildings.
Mm-hmm.
When I've got a 150-year-old building in downtown Oregon, Illinois, building's in great shape for a building 150 years old. But what are they going to do? They have a requirement forcing me to tuck point it because it's brick? They're going to force me to put in new windows, which could cost, you know, I mean, you know, you just wow. think about all the different things that you could have, put a new HVAC system. It would be at the point where, you know, it could be cheaper in many cases simply to abandon the building than it is to try to bring it up to these standards and try to sell it.
Right.
That creates slums. I mean, people, you guys, there are members of Congress that vote for these liberal bills that don't read them and have no idea what's in them.
Oh, I know. We were trying to, we were pulling up the bill ourselves, and we were actually trying to cipher through the bill, just trying to find the stuff on the mortgages.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. And then I was reading somewhere, and you touched base on it already. There was a 300-page amendment that was thrown at you guys
at 3 a.m. in the morning.
Right.
Yep, right.
And so we were going through that, trying to. I mean, I think what did we get to page 400? I think is where we're at.
Yeah.
Right now
on
the well, then
like,
you
got
to try
like
to
that.
Figure out what the language is, because you'll see something in there that's an amendment to a bill and you don't have the other amendment to a law, you don't have the other law in your hands. So you have to keep on cross-referencing. I mean, this is, you know, this is very, very difficult even for members of Congress to truck through this. And what's disturbing is that when the Democrats took over, they said we're going to have a three-day waiting period from the time a member of Congress has a bill available until he or she takes a vote on it. Well, they waived that, and they shoved these pieces of stuff of legislation in front of you and say, oh, just take our word that, you know, that this is good. Well, that's not the way it works. But I've got to go vote.
Okay.
And did we ask answer all of your inquiries?
You know what? You did a great job. We appreciate just you giving us your time today, and we appreciate you obviously voting against this cap and trade.
Well, thanks for what you guys are doing. I got to run.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.